Okay, where did he go, Maynard? Yeah, it's Gary Vance on the Nightlight 800 Splash. Taking it one more time. Takes me back. Cash out and move to Mexico. And I should have taken their advice. That's what I'm finding out now. Now that I'm instead of at the beginning of my, charge. Hi, how you doing? A little trouble reading that from the distance I am to the microphone, but I say light bite or bright. I don't know, I can't really tell. Either one's okay though. Aloha. Aloha. I see it now, it's bright. I had another account that I used for strictly for viewing people's channels that I knew when I didn't want them to know it was me, and it was called Bite Me. That was the name of the channel. I think it was on DLive, where all the YouTubers and Periscopers went when they got booted off those platforms. They went off in those corners to fade away. Yeah, but since I've gotten rid of it, aloha, y'all. So you must be from Southern Hawaii, right? Aloha, y'all. Yeah. Yep. Southern Hawaii. You're ethnic Hawaiian, but from Texas. Oh. Well, that's good. If you're in Texas now, I mean, it might be a good place to be, right? Might be better than Minnesota, although Minnesota is hasn't really, I don't know, We're rated number 3 on the list of success stories during the last couple years of problems in the country. Yep, there you go. Yeah, I would basically just stay there, you know, Texas. Yep. Your governor of Texas is he's finally stepped up and thrown up some border wall, I guess. I don't know if you appreciate that or don't, but you know, there's kind of a mix of people, and you know, politically speaking, I guess I am in the hashtag politics section here, but I was gonna kind of stay away from that a little bit, but excuse me. I follow a broadcaster that's in Hawaii, the Flying Hawaiian, James Real Person Politics. I don't know if you follow any of those people, but he's on DLive. Well, he's everywhere, really, but Real Person PLTCS. Yeah, I can certainly see your point in that, because it would have to be it would have to be like a blitz, like a war almost, and then it would have to involve going after the the both ends, I guess. I don't know. I remember who was it, Nancy Reagan, or who was it? The war on drugs. Yeah. The war on drugs. Who won that one? I really don't know. Yeah, exactly. Nobody won. And it's global, you know. It's all the what we call them criminals. They just think they're in that business, you know. I guess that's it's all where you grew up, you know, where you start out. It's like what's his name, Joaquin Guzman. Mr. Guzman, who's now in prison, but was head of one of the cartels. Well, you know, it's just how he started out, you know, where he lived, how it was. You know, I mean, it's definitely not my thing, you know. And now his son is running it, supposedly. And we're all customers, you know. I mean, I'm not knowingly not you know, a customer, but the United States has been one heck of a market for drugs, I'll tell you. And it's just getting bigger, as far as I can tell. And honestly, why not? I mean, if I have absolutely nothing against that. I really don't either. I never have, and I cannot. I'm reading the chat here, so. Weed, we don't consider that a drug, and I don't either. And there's so many reasons why, so many things you could say positive about it. That eight acres of marijuana. Yeah, that would do it. That would have done it for me. When I was a young man, I did all that. I did everything, but that was my favorite, you know. But it's a lot different. The product is a lot different now than it was back when I was using it. I hate to even say when I was using it, but it was the late 60s, early 70s, you know, when if you had a, you know, half a joint in your, yeah. Yeah, I did that a few times. And I was one of the kind of person that could take that stuff, which I didn't do it. I only did it a few times because they started talking about some bad stuff being around and things like that. But took it a few times. But I was the type that could take it. That would have been a great, you know, back in the 60s or whatever, that would have been a great nickname even, you know. No, it's not something to get in the habit of. It's it really does take you like completely. Well, that what I was going to say about myself is that I was able to separate myself into two parts. Okay, when I took it, I could keep my common sense and my normal self separate from what, you know, what was happening in my mind because of the substance, right? Yeah, I don't know what, you know, you might want to Google that, but I could watch it like a movie. It literally distorted the whole world to a point. There's enough reality in it that if you had a strong mind, I guess you could just look at it and say, you know that that's a pickup truck going by, right? And you know that it's the drug that's making it look like a 10-story building doing 300 miles an hour. And then you can laugh at it, but some people buy into it, you know. And hey, news. Someone's joining, yeah. But you can't. I saw people that bought into it too much. So what happened was it became they let it become their reality. And then, you know, some of them, a couple of them, never actually returned from the journey, you might say. When they were done, they were different people. You know, they were, and for the rest of their lives, they had become someone else from it. So it's pretty kind of dangerous that way. You have to have a pretty strong, you know, you have to be intellectual enough, I guess. And I'm not saying smart. You have to just have to have the ability to say, if you're standing on a train track and there's a train coming, you know. No matter what you're on, you know, you get off the tracks, you know, then you might be able to handle it. I'm seeing it says news joining. Oh, I feel bad when I see people that come in and that don't speak English. I feel bad. And the reason I feel bad is because it's like an expectation, you know? That they should know my language, but yeah, you know, I guess I should have learned at least the basics of a few other languages. Yeah, you know, that would have been more. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about now. Getting a little late. Early, maybe. Well, Texas, nope. Same 4:18 a.m. in Texas, if that's light bright. But something I goofed up here was, and I came on to do kind of a test, you know, because it's been years since I tried a CastBox. I've been using a different podcast site, you might say. But there was something, I remembered that there was something about CastBox that I like. And it was a couple of things. So I use a PC. And it's the chat stream, and you know I don't have the followers and stuff like that. I've never promoted anything, or you know, and like right now I didn't prepare any content, and we started talking about drugs, so we had content. But you like CastBox? I can't see what that. That symbol is. It's like I say, unfortunately, I have it on a. Wait a minute. Let me see if I move it. I can't tell what that symbol is. I'm sorry. Maybe your keyboard just punched in something like that. But anyway, you like CastBox, huh? I'm not sure. The other thing I'm not sure about with CastBox, it's like I said, I do like it. And I do like the fact that I can stack clips in. Right into the producer, and that it's web-based, you know, so it's in a cloud. You've been on for a few years, huh? Do you broadcast? Are you a broadcaster also? Sometimes, yeah. So, I can. Oh, look at that. Okay. I see how I can. You work a lot these days, yeah. Well, I would say, I would have to say this is probably a good thing, as long as you like your job. You know, seems like a lot of people these days just plain don't want to go to work. You love your job. That's great. When I was still working, I'm retired now, but when I was still working, I loved my job. And so people couldn't understand how I could spend so much time at it, you know, and why I was never home or, you know, didn't really have time for the golf course. Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I was. You look forward to going to work every day. That's the way I was when I was working. I had kind of two different careers or lifetimes. My first 20 years, I was in sales, marketing and product development and wholesale distribution and working with manufacturers on like packaging design and, I don't know, marketing, distribution, that kind of thing. The second career was home improvement. And basically that was I was self-employed in both companies. The first one was S Corporation or something like that, you know, but the home improvement business was when the housing boom was happening, you know, it was big. There wasn't enough people to do all the work. So, you know, I got a bad back from all the cash that was in my wallet at that time, which was actually my favorite of all was the home improvement stuff. Being outside all day, you know. Oh, wow. General manager for fine dining, restaurant, and entertainment venue. Well, that sounds like an interesting job. It really does. And, well, so you went through, did you go through like a shutdown phase? With the COVID thing and restrictions and having to put signs out front and make those decisions, you have to make those calls. Perfect timing. As long as you were up on revenue and you were going to do it anyway, it provided a kind of a perfect opportunity for it. I mean, So are you back up and running now? Doing well? Good, 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 good. See, when I think Texas, well, actually, I'm thinking Memphis, you know, barbecue, I think. You know, I think Texas, I think more of the barbecue is more like in the beef. And Memphis is more in the pork, you know, that kind of thing. But fine dining, you know, restaurant. I don't imagine it's a sloppy rib joint, you know, with them. Entertainment. What kind of entertainment? If you can say, you know, if you can say, dining usually goes with, I don't know, could go fine dining. A ballroom. Your profile pic 4 is a picture of the ballroom. Well, how do I get? How do I get to your page? You know, wait a minute, listener. I'm looking. Nah, it's so against the list. Well, that's kind of weird. How do I follow? Like I said, I'm new. This is new for me. I know what I can do. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot I was live. I'm sitting here thinking and humming and news. Someone is joining. So, whoops. Yeah, well, that's. Hello. Whoops. Wow. That was a bang, wasn't it? I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce it. It's so small on my page. Okay, so I'm dragging it over to a 36-inch monitor, and then I'm going to boost the size of that and see if Sorosh 190. Welcome. It still says, well, you actually have three restaurants in one building, plus a beautiful patio, outdoor stage, and mega screen. We host live music of all kinds, stand-up comedy, DJs, weddings, and wedding receptions, and so much more. Awesome. That sounds like a... What I like about the sound of that is that it's not the same thing every day, you know? And, you know, three venues. Oh, three restaurants in one building plus the patio, outdoor stage, mega screen. Oh, cool. Yeah. That sounds like a great place to work. Sounds like you could do just about anything there. Just out of curiosity, if how many people could be at a show? You know what I mean? 1,000? 2,000? Yeah. 750 to 1,000. Well, that's a good size. It's not too much to handle, but it's plenty for a lot of things. Like fundraisers or a birthday party. You know, for a guy with a couple bucks. It's way oversized, I would think, for a, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. It's oversized for a Biden rally. You made the front page of yesterday's paper? in Dallas something news? Or what did you say it was? You didn't say Dallas. You said Texas. Not far from Dallas. Okay. Hello, Sapita. We're talking about Lightbright's place of employment right now, kind of. And we were talking about some other stuff before. Just kind of threw myself on the stage, you might say, and started talking about, I don't know what it was, Mexico or something. I can I don't have that very loud. Can you hear that? Just out of curiosity, can you hear that clip line? It's called Pablo. It was free to use. Paper, Lightbright. I can look it up. What newspaper? I made the front page of yesterday's paper. It's on the front page. Trying to figure out one thing I haven't figured out yet. It's been almost 2 years since I've used CastBox. And the one thing I remembered about it was when I first tried using it was I was totally clueless, number one, about everything to do with broadcasting. So I was bumbling. Hello. Squiggly thing name. I can't really read it. Appreciate you all stopping in. We have four people here, unless I count as one also, but I don't think I can upload clips on the fly. Can I? Try it. How about that? You want to says mellow. What do we have here? Well, it's uploading, so let's see if it works, huh? I'm gonna see if that works. Just because I can. People are so patient. There we go. Try this. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but it's called Moving On. I see some of you are doing. Here's a problem too, is I don't know how it sounds out there. In my headset, it's loud. But I have a fader. I have the fader. See, it says new message, but I don't see anything. I have the fader pulled way down on the site. So I'm not going to. I can't really tell. But in my headset. That's why it says Nightlight 800 testing. Testing again. Oh, wait a minute. That's a TV series. On Netflix. Yeah. Okay, I get it. Not have does not have an embed. So I can't embed it in my on my website. Now I have another podcaster site. But that's all. It's all too serious. You know, that's why I started Nightlight 800 a long time ago, was because I wanted to be able to come on and just talk about stuff. Like, where were we back here? Lightbright lives in Texas, smokes weed, won't do acid. About that stuff, but joining. My guess is that some of the people that are checking in, that's on autoplay. Also, I can put a whole playlist in there of just background music, stuff that isn't copyright protected. You're from Iran. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a long drive from Minnesota. From, or are you there now? Yeah, it's a long drive, especially with the gas prices the way they are right now, you know. And if I left now, of course I'd never get there. Yeah, people, but that was why Nightlight 800, instead of some, I have politics on here and I hashtag, but I really don't want to talk that much about politics. I just want to talk about people, because my personal feeling is that the problems that we're having in a lot of countries around the world, it isn't about the people. It isn't that the average person living there, working there, trying to have a life, you know, trying to build something worth living. It's the governments seem to think, for some reason, that they, and this is everywhere, everywhere, not, you know, you say that America is, the United States is the best, freest country in the world and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, oh yeah. Freedom. We all found out real quick in the West, as a lot of people know, how fragile those freedoms were. As soon as we got this pandemic thing they're talking about, and now the Omicron sweeping the globe, terrorizing the entire citizenry of all the countries, hang on the every word of the governments of the world saying, oh, we have a new variant of the virus, so you have to go home, you have to lock yourself up, you have to take the shot, you know, and then other point, here, have another one, have another shot. Well, maybe we should give you another shot. Okay. You have doctors, all kinds of doctors. I mean, all of these doctors that are not in lockstepping with the government's narrative about the, you know, treatment versus vaccine type stuff and everything like that. All these doctors can't be crazy that say it can be treated, you know? I don't know, you know? They're claiming now that this new Omicron variant walks right past these vaccines and just doesn't even wave at it, you know, just keeps rolls right through. But also, starting in the whole thing about, here I'm talking politics, or not really, talking about people of the world, all everybody, the people, not the governments, you know, the people. We have so much more in common than I think so many people realize worldwide. I just think the people, if you push the government out of the way, you know what I mean, and you took like good people. People in general, I really do believe people know the difference between right and wrong. I mean, they can't always choose right over wrong because of their circumstances or where they live. It's like I said about I think it's Joaquin Guzman. It's the world he grew up in. It's what he knew, and things like that. So, yeah. In an attempt to, futile attempt to control the drug trade, they put him in prison. And you know, it's like, did that cure anything, really? Did that fix anything? His competition probably paid the U.S. federal government to lock him up, you know? Somebody just gave him more money. That's probably why he's locked up. I mean, that's rough stuff. Don't get me wrong, that's rough stuff. And living in that world and those communities and that's not for me, you know. I'm more of a live, you know, do unto others kind of guy, you know. Whether it be a biblical base or just common sense, you know, you say, I would do unto you as I would have you do unto me. I think that's, you know, no matter wherever it came from, that's some of the best advice for living that you can get. Do unto me as I would do, you know, do unto them, others as you would have them do unto you. And if we all did that, basically it would be, you know, we'd get along, right? We wouldn't throw dog poop over our neighbor's fence. You know what I mean? And, you know, trying to keep it clean. You know what I mean? Said something there about, I can actually click a thing that says explicit, but I don't think I hit that mark yet. Explicit. I appreciate everyone. I appreciate everyone that stops in, just if even just for a minute, if even just long enough to hear, you know, me yakking. You want to run away from here? Love your family, my people, but I don't want to be here. We are tired of government, and there's not any hope. Man, I hear you. I do. I hear that. I will never pretend to know what it's like. But I can read in from what you're saying that you feel like you don't have a choice. Like you're stuck there. I would say get to the United States, but here's the problem with that is we're losing control here. And what you your dreams are the same, just like same as our dreams, in a way. It's just that it may have looked like for a long time like we were closer to being able to, maybe still are. I really don't know. I am not a very worldly person, you know. I don't travel, but I do. But I've always felt this in my gut, in my heart, that the slave in China, working his fingers to the bone for sustenance, just enough to eat, built that television set sitting across my room. Just so they could eat. And just so that they could, someone could make ten times what it costs to build by selling it in the U.S. market, Western market. Hello. Thanks for joining. I have trouble pronouncing names. I really do. Get outside of the I try to do a broadcast, and I was reading from an article on it was an Al Jazeera article. Actually, somebody can square me away, but I think Al Jazeera is a great source for news. I find out more about what's going on in the United States from watching and reading Al Jazeera and even RT, Russian television, believe it or not. And I sometimes learn more from them than I can from listening to our own media in the United States, because the media in the United States lies to us about what's going on. They lie to us about what's going on in the world. I find out the United States has done things from other news sources that was never reported here in the United States. And And when we supposedly bombed a chemical plant or something in Syria over there, when Trump did that pre-dawn raid or whatever, were they just a political move? You know, there was a woman in, where was that? Is that Lebanon or Syria? I think it was Syria. A woman standing in her doorway with a smartphone, aiming it at the, off to the, like the horizon, the hillsides off in the distance. And, it was right before dawn, and you could see all the bombs going off in a string. Live. In real time. And it was just some citizen standing in the doorway, you know? Hello? I assume that's what that means. Hola? Hello? I apologize that I only know English and I don't have a hello. Thank you. Yeah. I apologize. I don't know any. The only language I know is English, and I don't even know that very well. You know, I grew up in the United States, and, you know, I'm basically functionally illiterate, you know, so. Is that music too loud? Or can you not hear it at all? I can't tell with my headset. Is it just okay? It's okay. Okay. Just laying there, kind of not bothering me. Us too much. It's a little something. Thank you. Appreciate that. But what I was getting at, you know, is people from all over the world. I think that people in general are good. The people. I think it's the governments, the laws. Sometimes I think it's some people I can't read that, I'm sorry. Amir, I don't have a translator. That's something I'll work on, a drag and drop translator. Something I can just drag it and drop it into, so I can know what people are saying. At least I'll know how Google translates it, you know. I don't think I can do that, can I? Maybe I could just right click it and highlight it and it would say translate, but I'm not too good at that kind of stuff. But I think I was saying, what was I saying? That in general, people are good. Most people are good, but it's like I say. Oh, what's the title? I don't have a title, huh? Would that be, oh yeah, it says testing. Is that what you see? It says, where it just says testing. Yeah. If that's what it is, I apologize, and I appreciate you pointing out that I have no title. Yeah. I think I get that. Symbols. Yeah, we're all in it. Is that good or bad? I really don't know. I don't know if that's good or bad. Oh, it's good. Okay. So my the way I have my board EQ'd and my microphone. You know, I call my microphone Roadkill because it's so old and I've dragged it around so much. Very old. It's a stage mic plugged into an old four track, believe it or not. But this is my thing with sound. If it's tolerable, you know, if it sounds just good enough to not make people go, I can't listen to that anymore. Bluebird by Charlie. Is that a song? I'll check it out. I'm checking that out. It's a poem. Lyrics. YouTube. I'm listening to it. Okay. I get it. A little bassy. Inches, and I have it puffed up. Welcome. Thank you for stopping by. Yeah, it is pretty low end, huh? I'm going to actually, when I'm done here, I'm going to listen to the poem or whatever it is. Is 1,976,000 views. Bluebird by Charles Bukowski. Got to be something there, right? Got to be something there. And there you go. That's what I like talking with. I don't like say talking to. I hate it when I say that. Talking with other people. I don't talk to or at anybody. I talk with people. And I'm the kind of person that will let you finish a sentence. A conversation. I'm going to see how this works out. It looks like I've been up for an hour and 5 minutes live time. And with company, you know, that's... right now, there's three listeners. No fans, no stars, no likes, which is okay. I don't come on here for the clicks, you know what I mean? Oh man, you don't even know my name. The idea behind Night Lady 800, when I came up with the it's kind of goofy, you know, both words are spelled wrong, obviously, but yeah, that's me, Gary Vance. Sepida. That's kind of cool. I don't know how to do that stuff, but I like it. Got like an elf. He wants either an AK-47 or an AR-15 for what, Christmas? Or he already has one. She. He or she. Tiger. Tiger. Lala. Yeah. I'm still back. I gotta jump back to, where was it? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. That Sepida. Okay. I love my family and my people, but I don't want to be here. We are tired of government, and there is no hope, basically. I have to tell you, this is that those kind of feelings are spreading. I think the USA is, you know, I'm not very proud of my my people for sitting still while the government just keeps, you know, pushing for more and more control over us. You know, I'm not proud of that. We're not even in the streets. And there's 360 million people in the United States. The not so United States. A lot of the states are not united. Don't think the same. Can ask late bright that was here from Texas. And then you can find out how many people are moving from California to Texas because they think things will be better. You register for the lottery every year. Is that a lottery, like an immigration lottery? Or you register for, you know, when we talk about the lottery around here, you know, we talk about buying something at the grocery store that you can win money on. But one registered for the lottery every year. You mean to migrate for like immigration? Is it a lottery? Oh, wow. Okay. I get it. Yeah. You see, I know so little about how things work. But my guess is that to just hello, Mohammed. I think I got that one right. Ison. Mohammed Ison. Cash is joining. Was got five. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. When a country, when you feel like you are a prisoner in any country on the planet, there's something wrong, very, very, very wrong with the way things are being done, in my opinion. And when a country fails, so when our governments fail us so miserably that we can't enjoy life, and we just want somewhere else to be. But if we just open all the borders, it could turn into a a mess also, if we don't have some control. So it's the only way I can really think of, if, like, for instance, I'm going to shut that. If I was younger, for one thing, I'm kind of an old man, but I've been around, so I've seen a lot here, and I've, you know, heard a lot of stuff, read a lot of stuff, tried to find out as much as I can about what's going on in the rest of the world, you know, like especially with the uprisings. Now, somebody mentioned Iran. I was looking at trying to find out about the uprisings in Iran a few years ago, where there was uprisings in several cities around the country, and where the people were calling for help from the outside, basically. Yeah. And it's painful to be on the outside. I can't say we're on the outside. Pretty soon we'll be calling you for help here in the United States. Okay, wait a minute. I see a down here. A lot of young people have been killed in protests in the last 2 years, but you see something else in the news. That's exactly right. And the numbers. I brought that up in a broadcast I did. I think it's on BitChute or something. Maybe it might not be there. But I was talking about 2019 and the uprisings. There were uprisings all over the world. I mean, Iran, Lebanon, Syria, France, Germany, UK, US, even the US, you know, a few people got put down their remote, you know, and went out and did something, you know. But I had to, hello, Sereno, did I say that right? And Sajad, 313. Hello. Welcome. But in 2019, you know, I was, or let me rewind and say that in 2020, I went back and I looked at 2019. Quite welcome. TNG. TNQ. Thank you. Oh, see, I told you I'm old. So these abbreviations, a lot of it goes right over my head. And, you know, I know a few of them. But in 2020, I went back because I was curious about the big outbreak of the hi, Sima. I can't pronounce that last one. Kachui. Oh. Thank you for letting me know that I got at least close, yeah. Thank you for realizing that old people are full of memories and information. Yes, I am. I'm in the United States, if you want to call it that anymore. This place has turned into a nut house. I live in a state called Minnesota. I don't know if you've heard of Minnesota in the United States. It's if you take United States and Canada, the North American continent, Minnesota is like in the middle. We're like in the middle of the country on the north border of Canada. So if I left now in 2 hours, I could be in Canada going north. But I wouldn't do that. When I was a young man, I used to go up there and we canoe in the rivers and forests and things like that, you know, when I was a young man. But yes, I'm in the United States. But I consider myself, that's why I have a bit of a problem with broadcasting in this climate of where everything has to be about U.S. politics, you know, because my personal opinion is that the U.S. is only one part of, you know, one piece of the world, you know, that, And every person on the planet, all 7 billion people on the planet, have just as much value as any other one, in my opinion. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And a thumbs up. You're very kind people. That it's the, so this is very, very good for me to be here right now with 8 listeners showing, and I think a common thread in our thinking, and that is that we, every one of us, matters just as much as the other one, no matter where you're from. No matter what, as far as this is, I don't know, I'm starting to mumble a little bit, but what I'm trying to say is that this is our planet. This is ours, the people's planet. It doesn't belong to the governments. They're supposed to, in my opinion, a government does not take care of its people in a way that their people can be happy and prosper. That government is not doing their job. And where people are starving in countries, it's because of their governments. Sometimes it's just too far for one man to go or one woman to go to get what they need if the government is against them or not working to help them. But the people in the government, they always have everything they need. Okay. That's just kind of, that's how I feel about it. It's, yeah, that's true, Cash. So, you thought it was me emulating somebody else? Imitating someone else? No? Maybe. Did I use a different voice? So I can talk like I'm from someplace else. But no, I'm actually just an old guy, lives in the middle of the United States in a small town. 6,000 people live in this town. We have one big grocery store, you know, that kind of thing. I am 69 years old. 69 years old. I'm old. That's old, man. That is old. Uh, 69 years young. Yeah, you could say it that way. My father, my dad, whatever you want to call him. He only lived to be 70. So I'm 69 now, and I'm crawling towards the goal line, you know, to beat my dad in life, you know, because he was just short of 70 when he died, and I'm 69 now, but I just turned 69, so I still have 11 and a half 11 months to stay alive to beat him. So, but you know, I don't, it's not something I fear or worry about. Pleasure to meet you too. Not old. Yeah, pleasure to meet you too, Cash. Don't even think of that. Life and death is in God's hands. Absolutely. I mean, that's what I believe. I start to worry about things, and I think, who do I think I am? You know, who do I think I am? But there is. How are you? I'm good. Ashkin Rahimi. Good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. It's there's a lot of that's not too bad pronunciation. Well, nice to meet you. Very nice. Thank you. Where a lot of people, I understood. Thank you, though. I find a lot of broadcasters, people on the internet these days, you know, Twitter, and then broadcasters that broadcast, video broadcasters and things like that, you know, they're you're either listening to like someone that's big, you know, that has is in what I would call a narrow lane. They're in a kind of a narrow lane of thinking. My name is Gary Vance, and I will next time I will get the information in the broadcast. I'll even, yeah, thank you. I don't know how to change things exactly right now, but when I set up next time, I will, I'll set it up right. And, I would like to do this again, very in the not too distant future. I mean, some things are changing, quite a bit, you know. No. Advanced refrigeration, never heard of it. But I'm sure it's a fine operation. And being from Minnesota right now, if I wanted to store my food, cool my food, I could put it in a basket and hang it out the window, you know, it's on the shady side of the house. I know. It's a joke from... Oh, from the... Oh, really? I get it. See, Bob Vance. Gary, I said. Bob... There's this guy called Bob Vance. Okay. On the show. That's what you're telling me. On the TV series. I didn't watch The Office. You know? No. Serena, I watch it, The Office. There was another series that was on for a little while with one of the guys from The Office. I can't remember what it was called, but he was a cop or something. And I watched that series and I liked it, and then they quit making them, but and whenever he goes and says, "I'm Bob Vance from Vance Refrigeration," Oh, yeah. That's funny. Maybe I should have named myself Bob Vance, huh? New name. No, I can't get rid of that. I wouldn't know who anybody's talking to. My name has been Gary since I was, my mama told them in the hospital what my name was when I was born. I was born right before Christmas. My mother was in the hospital by herself. And, the nurse said, oh, I'm sorry you have to be here by yourself at this time. And my mother said, alone. And my mother said, she's not alone because Gary is with me. TV shows, thanks. My mother was a wonderful, wonderful woman. Wonderful. Great mother. And my father was, I got some of my, rougher edges, maybe from my father, but not cruel or mean or anything like that. I do not drink. I do not do drugs. I did many years ago. I did, but Islamic Ashton, hello. My profession was sales and marketing and product development and packaging design and labeling design and different things like that. When I was, that was like a 20 year career chunk. And then after that, I became, I went into the home improvement business. And, was self-employed of myself. I would hire other people, and work. I did a lot of work. How many people have heard of Minneapolis now that it's been in the news? It's been in the news. Yes, it's where George Floyd died. Yeah, you heard about George Floyd and the thing in the United States. It's written, St. Paul is the capital, but it's the Twin Cities. They're just separated by an area we call the Midway, you know, basically. But yeah, it's basically they're connected. You know, it's all the same thing. Minneapolis and St. Paul. And St. Paul is the capital. Yeah. And, but this is where the George Floyd thing and where the rioting and burning and stuff like that really kind of started. And it went global. They were painting murals of George Floyd on the sides of buildings in Spain, you know, and laying flowers out there and everything. It was big. That's right, Cash. The George Floyd story was huge, and it was international. It went international, and the Black Lives Matter thing went national. They were marching in London and all that, you know, but Minneapolis was where they took over the police precinct, you know, and threw the police out basically and burned it and started a international thing that has since kind of settled down. But yes, Cash, it was a big story. And the guy was convicted. The police officer that kneeled on his neck or whatever. There's a lot of different opinions about how it happened. But he apologized just a few days ago. He came out and apologized for using too much force, you know. And he's going to do, I can't remember. At his age, he might, you know, he'd be older. He'll be older than me when he gets out of prison, if he gets out. You know, I don't know where they put police officers when they put them in jail, but if they put them in with the general population, they, I don't know what they do in a kind of situation. But Minneapolis is, when I was 12 years old, I could get on a bus. My parents would let me get on a bus and take the bus into the city of Minneapolis, right down to the center of the city to go to the movie theater that was on Lake Street that runs right through Minneapolis. And at holidays, Christmas and stuff, the department stores were all in the city. So we would take the bus. But even at 11 or 12 years old, you think about that. Our parents would allow us to take the bus into the cities and go shopping and goof around and stuff like that on the main roads in the city of Minneapolis. Whereas now, they've become a little bit too dangerous for that. But it's not just Minneapolis. It's most major cities are a little too dangerous for kids to run around in, things like that. But Minneapolis has changed considerably. But when Minneapolis was burning and the riots were going on, I'm not sure where you're from. So dangerous where I live might be a totally different, you know, I might view danger completely different. See, that's what I mean about people. People are people, and where they're from and where how they've grown up, you know, that can define a lot of what they consider to be danger or a good place to live or a bad place to live or success or failure, all those things. But dangerous, I would say there's just a lot more desperate people that live on the streets or spend time on the streets. And we have the gangs and things like that. We have quite a few shootings in Minneapolis now, but it's generally, this is the way I always kind of look at that kind of stuff is, you understand? Yeah. It's, I look at it like this. I used to work in the cities a lot when I was in the home improvement business. And in some of the areas, a lot of people wouldn't, from the suburbs, you know, out around where they considered themselves safe, wouldn't even go into the areas that I went in and worked. But the way I always looked at it was that the gangs and different things that were going on and everything like that. It was none of my business, I guess. You know, I didn't make it any of my business. And if I was approached by someone that seemed suspicious of me being there, you know, I had a van, park a van, on with tools and stuff, my tools in it and everything, carpenter tools or drywall tools and different things like that. And they would see that there day after day and stuff like that. Sometimes they would get curious about who I was. And they would come and ask me, and I would just tell them, I'm just here to fix a house. No, that's, and a lot of times I would get along fine. And there were times when I would know that there was a gang member walking down the sidewalk towards me when I was out by my truck or whatever like that. And what I did often was I would ask them a question, like, do you mind if I ask you a question? And they'd they'd give me the nod or something like that. And I would ask them if there was anywhere close by where I could go, where I could get a soda and a sandwich or something like that, that I wasn't from here. I was just working, you know. And most of the time, you showed respect. That's what it was, basically. Sometimes when you respect people and they know that you're not there to get into their business, then you can survive fine. But sometimes it doesn't work that way also. Sometimes it goes bad anyway. Yeah. You start a conversation, but you don't ask any questions that beyond where can I get some soda and chips? Yeah. But Pete, that's I guess that's what I'm talking about when it comes to people. I was in their space. See, I was from the suburbs. I'm from the suburbs of Minneapolis. Yeah, I agree that you tread lightly when you're speaking with dangerous people. I was in a grocery store. It's a true story. It might get boring, but I'll tell it anyway. I was at the grocery store one night, right here in town, and there was only one cash register open, and there was a long line of people waiting to get to the cash register. So I went to the service counter, and I politely asked the woman behind the counter if they could get another person to run another register so that we could speed things up a little bit. It would be very helpful, you know. Talk to them like that, you know. Oh, sure. So they come around and they open another register. And there was a line and stuff. But I went ahead and rolled my card up, you know. I just basically followed them over there and rolled my card up there. And so there was a guy in the other line that came up to me and he said, I was next. And I said, yeah, you were next in that line. I said, I was first in this line. Oh, so you're that kind of guy. I said, I don't really know what you mean by it. I'm that kind of guy, but if I'm the kind of guy that when they open a register and say I can help someone over here, and I'm there, I roll up. But he pushed his way in and stuff, and it got to the point where this guy was yelling at me. And I said, are you trying to pick a fight with me? And he said, he was looking for trouble. He was. He said, I said, are you trying to pick a fight with me? And he said, yeah, I am. And I said, you're trying to pick a fight with me at 11 o'clock at night in a grocery store over who's next in line at the counter. And he said, yeah. He said, I think you're a jerk and everything like that. And he had his hand in his pocket. It looked like, to me, like he was holding on to something. I think he might have had like a little pistol in his pocket or something, looking for somebody to shoot. That's what it seemed like. So I looked at him and I told him, I said, I was a couple of years ago, 67 years old, you know, and I don't have all the wind I could, you know, at my age and everything. And I'm, you know, I probably imagine in my head that I could still throw a punch, you know, but it might fall short of its intent. But so I said, well, I said, this is your lucky night. And he said, what do you mean it's my lucky night? I said, well, I said, I have, you know, I'm a little short of wind and I just don't have the strength I used to have. And you, it's your lucky night because you are the first man that I have ever let talk to me that way in my life. And you're going to walk away, you know. I said, so, you know, you should count your blessings, because if I still had what I used to have, I said, this would have been over by the time you finished your first sentence. And I said, one of us would be down and the other one would probably be in handcuffs, you know, that kind of thing. And he just looked at me funny and grabbed his stuff and walked away like, this guy's nuts. So sometimes it's like what's his name? Sometimes if you act a little bit like, you give them that look like they never know what's going to happen, I guess. Sometimes that works. Well, I think he was, he lost his, the confidence, because, you know, I hadn't shaved for a while and a white beard, you know, I looked like Santa Claus in a stocking, in a black stocking hat, you know, and, I think he started to think about the situation and think, I may have just caught a break. And he actually did. And the only reason it is that he caught a break is because I had gotten old enough to realize that sometimes it's to walk away and go home is easier, you know. But it was hard. I have to tell you the truth. It was really hard to let that guy just walk away after talking to me like that. It's just the way I've always been. you know, and I will not say that I was the toughest guy on the block. You know, things that I didn't win everything I started either. You know what I mean? But in the old days, here in the United States, boys, men would get into what we call fist fights. But nobody was trying to kill the other person or anything. It was a lose-lose situation, absolutely, at that point. Especially since I was next anyway. And he was almost, he only had three things, you know. But, I guess I did, you know. I'm glad I was able to just look at him and think, this guy's, there's something wrong with this picture, you know. It's like you said, dangerous people. He seemed like a dangerous person, and he had his hand in his jacket pocket, and it looked like he was hanging on to something. And to be honest with you, I mean, I don't even want to get, you know, popped with a 32 or, you know, some like a small caliber, you know. You know, I mean, if he would have popped me with a 32, it might have, the adrenaline might have kicked up, and then it might have like ripped him in half. But with the adrenaline before I, while I was, yeah. Anyway, that's, like I said, I'd make a long say. Sometimes I say it like this: to make a short story long, you know, that's could have been a lot shorter story. That's one of the reasons I am so scared to move to the U.S. Everyone has a gun. Oh, you don't have to be afraid of people. I mean, in the inner cities, okay. If you in certain areas in the cities, guns can be a problem. But everyone having a gun in the United States is what keeps people from keeps a lot of people from doing things. But if you move to, you know, to a small town or outside of the cities and stuff, into the suburbs and stuff like that and everything, my whole life outside of just like 20 miles outside of the cities, the only shooting that ever happened in the town I lived in was some kid shot himself, you know? Okay, you're asking me a pretty heavy question there, I know. But don't you think it would be a great idea to get rid of all the guns altogether? Well, no, because then the only guys that have guns are the bad guys in the government. And then what are we? Huh? Australia, that's right. And actually, Australians, they have shotguns and stuff, but... they're not really armed like in the United States. They say we have 300 million privately owned guns with a trillion rounds of ammunition. And that we have deer hunting season, you know, up here in the north, it's all over the country, but I live in the northern part of up here in Minnesota, and there's Minnesota, Wisconsin, you know, big hunting, fishing states, you know, And I looked it up. Background checks. I'm not against making sure somebody's not crazy to have a gun. I think that's a good idea. The thing is, what are they gonna keep adding to the list of things that they put in the background check that make it so that you can't have a gun? They're already basically saying that based on social media posts or something like that, ex-military people that were in the military are not allowed to have aren't going to be allowed to own a gun after they leave the military. How crazy is that? The best trained, the most disciplined people aren't, you know, it's just the government finding a way, a twist, you know, something they can put into it. But it's a big debate in the United States that I will confess to that. It is a big debate in the United States about guns. And generally what you find is that people that are more for freedom, for individual freedom, you know, and less government intervention and stuff like that, are more likely to be pro gun ownership, you know, because more than half of the people in the United States still believe the government shouldn't be able to tell them whether they can have a gun or not, you know. But then there's the other half that think that rounding up all the guns will stop the killing. But the fact that they're not looking at is that all the killing, except for domestic abuse and different things like that, you know, but almost all the killing is going on in the inner cities. And it's most of the time, it's like gang on gang type violence. We're not really fighting a war like of politics, you know, like some countries, they're fighting each other over control of the territories, like Afghanistan was. I guess they had what do they call them tribes or warlords with followers and different things like that, you know. So there's the gang wars in Mexico where they fight. So there's a lot, almost all of the killings in the United States are really come from turf wars in the cities and stuff like that. It's not the regular people outside of this cities and in the farm country and the small towns and everything like that. Most of the United States there is no problem. And some of the places where, like Texas and places like that, where people can have the